Church podcast. This message is part of our series, Losing It. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Hello, New Point. I want to welcome each and every one of you. We're glad that you're here. I want to welcome those who are watching online. And I just want to encourage you to take out your note-taking guide. It's right there in your weekly. We're in a series called Losing It. And we've been talking about different emotions that you and I need to get a handle on. And the one that we want to talk about today is a barrier for many of us, and it keeps us from enjoying the life that God has for us. Now, the emotion that we want to talk about today, none of us admit freely. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that they really have an issue or a problem with this. It's tough to admit. You know, we've looked at anger, and, you know, most of us will probably concede to the fact, yeah, you know, hey, there's times I get angry. And we looked at stress, and, you know, most of us would say, hey, you know what, there's times I don't handle stress very well. But what we want to talk about today is not lust or laziness or pride or any of those things. It's jealousy. Jealousy. And it can be subtle. Matter of fact, it is subtle in our life. And it's something that really happens more inward than outward. And it can eat you alive. Now, let me ask us a question today. Do you consider yourself a jealous person? How many of us today would admit, you know what? I'm kind of bent towards being a jealous person. You know, probably very few of us. We might say, you know, Dwight, I get angry at times. I get stressed out at times. I don't always handle myself in the right way. But I don't really think I'm a jealous person. Well, let's look at a definition that we want to work from this morning. Here's what it says. Jealousy is awakened by whatever promotes others and gives them pleasures, privileges, and possessions that we desire. So what I'm saying is this: jealousy is awakened in me and in you when somebody gets promoted and it's not me. When somebody gets a privilege and it's not me. When somebody enjoys a pleasure and it's not me. Or they have a possession that we desire. That's what jealousy is. It starts there and then moves into envy. And jealousy and envy is closely related. You see, jealousy begins, and then when that person obtains it, now we become envious of them. And what we have to do is we have to be willing to nip it in the bud when it comes as a form of jealousy. So, are you a jealous person? Let me ask you a question. Does it bother you when someone else receives more attention than you? Do you rejoice in the success of other people? Do you struggle with being second or third rather than first? If so, you're battling jealousy. Y'all okay? You see, jealousy starts with the desire to have someone else's position, or you're threatened, or someone else's possessions, or someone else's pleasure, or even privilege. And what happens is when we see somebody's position or possessions or pleasure or privilege, what happens is something awakens in us because we desire that. And jealousy begins in my heart and in your heart. And it's subtle. Very subtle. And yet it's very, very dangerous. Very, very dangerous. James gives us a picture of how dangerous it is in James chapter 3, verse 16. Here's what he says. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, and let me just talk about selfish ambition, okay? Because you might think that ambition is wrong. It's not. Desires are not wrong. God's created us to have desires. Matter of fact, I like to say it like this. Probably no one was more ambitious than Jesus when he walked on the planet Earth. See, Jesus was a rabbi. And listen to how ambitious he was. He didn't say, hey, you know what? Let's just build a church in Nazareth. No, you know what he said? He said, hey, how about Jerusalem? How about Judea? How about Samaria? Can't you hear them? Come on, Jesus. What are you talking about? When is it going to be what? Enough. And then he throws it on them. How about the whole world? You see, one of God's great qualities is that he's an ambitious God. So James is not knocking you and I being ambitious or having desires. Nothing has been accomplished that's been worthwhile without somebody having ambition or a desire to get it done. That's why we have the great hospitals that we have. And I could go on and on and on. It all starts with somebody's desire and somebody having ambition. So what he says here is, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, for me, not for others, for me, there you will find what? Disorder and evil of every kind. Wow. Disorder and every evil of every kind. You want to know why your life is in chaos? You want to know why your family is in a crisis? And there's disorder there, it could very well be that jealousy is there. Because you see, when jealousy is in one person, it doesn't stay with him or her. It affects everybody. A jealous person will bring chaos and disorder to his or her family, to his or her workplace, to his or her friendship. And James says here, for wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, you're going to find disorder. Disorder, chaos. And so whenever you're experiencing disorder and chaos and confusion, we have to come back and we have to say, hey, you know what? Is somebody here jealous? Am I jealous? Am I contributing to the disorder and the chaos and the confusion that's going on at work? Hello? In my home? Hello? In my marriage? Hello? And he says, an evil of every kind. You see, the problems that jealousy brings to the table are many. They're just many. And what we need to realize is that it affects all of us. You see, jealousy does not discriminate. It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. It happens on the playground and it happens in the boardroom. It happens with the rich and it happens with the poor. It happens with the men and it happens with the women. It happens with the educated and it happens with the uneducated. It does not discriminate. It touches every single one of us. It also destroys our uniqueness. You know, what happens is we're not embracing who God created us to be. You know, the psalmist wrote that we are wonderfully and fearfully made. If we really believe that, then we won't be jealous and we won't be envious of other people. We will embrace who God created us to be and what He has for us. And yet, one of the problems that jealousy brings to the table is that it destroys our uniqueness. You see, jealous people want to be like someone else instead of who God created them to be. And that creates disorder. It wastes my time and energy. Because what happens is jealousy is always looking at what we don't have or what we're afraid we're going to lose. And so what happens is we got people working two jobs, three jobs, wasting their life, wasting their time. You know why? Because I got to have this, my next purchase, my next thing, my next promotion, my next. And you know what? I've got a brother-in-law that I got to keep up with. I've got a sister that is ahead of me, my best friend. And what happens is jealousy brings to the table the fact that it wastes my time and my energy and I don't end up enjoying what I do have. You know, it doesn't tell the truth either. Jealousy never tells the truth because jealousy is blind. It does not see things accurately because it starts in the heart and our hearts are deceitful. Deceitful. You see, jealousy exaggerates what other people have. You know, you see something on Facebook and you know what? The mind begins to what? Turn. And you begin to exaggerate what they have and what they're doing. And it not only does that, it underestimates what we have. And we don't realize what we have. And so jealousy, it brings to the table that we overestimate what's going on in someone else's life and what they have. Don't they have it good? And it underestimates what we have. And in doing so, it greatly limits our joy. And so we don't enjoy life. And God wants you and I to enjoy life. Matter of fact, God would say this, that He's created all things for our enjoyment. Enjoyment. And so what we need to realize is jealousy brings to the table, okay, joy that is limited, but it's present and it's spreading before we even notice it. See, it's so subtle. It can enter your heart and my heart in a very subtle, subtle way before we even notice it. And then it takes root. And so James would say, for where there is jealousy, there is disorder. And then evil of every kind. Think of that. Evil of every kind. What's he talking about? Well, let me tell you what happens when jealousy grips our heart. Here's what we start doing. We start lying. And we lie to people. To either keep what we have because we're threatened and we're afraid we're going to lose it, or to get what we want. And we just flat out lie. Now, we justify it to ourselves because we say we're really not lying. But the fact of the matter is we're not telling the truth because we desire that. And there's nothing wrong with desire until it controls you. And so what happens is a form of evil is just lying and then slander. Then we start slandering people. Because we're jealous of them. And so we go after their character. We go after things in their life to try to strip them of what we want or what we're threatened by them. Which leads to what? Gossip. And we'll start gossiping. All because we're jealous. And you know what it leads to? Even stealing. He says, evil of every kind. And it can even go this far. Murder. Murder. Wow. A person can become so jealous that they end up murdering someone. And we've read stories, haven't we? Of where people have been jealous and threatened because they wanted something, that they ultimately took someone's life. And so what we're talking about today is very subtle, but it is very, very serious. So let me ask you a question today. Are you a jealous person? Does it bother you when other people receive attention and you don't? Does it bother you when other people succeed? Does it bother you to be second or third in line? If you're fighting it, then you probably are. You know why? Because it doesn't discriminate. Every single one of us, myself included, has to be aware of this. Because when jealousy is in my heart, I will find disorder in my life. You wonder why your life isn't coming together? You wonder why you're saying, you know what, my life feels in such a disarray. It's chaotic. Could it be? I don't know. That you're jealous? And because of that, evil of every kind is working in your life. Look at this verse here from Proverbs. This is incredible, by the way. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. Wow. You see, you know, today you could look at me and my body could be filled with what? Tumors of cancer, and you'd never know it. And then it just what? Boom! Hits me. And what do we say? Man, they went fast. I didn't know he was that sick. I didn't understand she was in that place. And what he's saying is, that's what jealousy can do in my heart and in your heart. It will lead us to do things and to say things that we never thought we would ever do. And we wonder, how on earth did I get here? And yet he says, a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. So what that means is, you know what? You can eat and I can eat broccoli and cauliflower and all the greens that we want. And we can work out 3 days a week and 5 days a week. And you know what? Still not have a healthy body because we don't have a peaceful heart. Because the key to a healthy body ultimately is a peaceful heart. And yet jealousy is like cancer in the bones. So how can we do chemotherapy on ourselves today and eradicate the jealousy that would like to be in your heart and that would like to be in my heart? Let me give you several things that I think that if we are willing to embrace and apply, that we can begin to deal with this emotion called jealousy. Here's the first thing, and that is refuse to compare yourself with others. Just refuse to compare yourself with others. And this is huge. This is huge. Because I would suggest to us today that comparing is the root of jealousy. The reason why we become jealous is because we compare our lives with other people. We compare our stuff with other people. And if you can stop comparing, if I can stop comparing, then we can stop jealousy. Because you see, jealousy begins where my financial statement ends. Jealousy begins where my square footage for my house ends. Jealousy begins where my kids' achievements end. And see, what happens is we compare all that stuff. And when we compare all that stuff, something begins to take hold in us. And that jealousy can begin to happen in our lives and bring about disorder and lead us down a path that we don't want. But I think comparing is one of our favorite pastimes, isn't it? Huh? Again, I think that Facebook contributes to this, and I'm not against Facebook. But what happens is we compare. And again, we overestimate what's going on in someone else's life and underestimate and underappreciate what's going on in our own life. And so what happens, we have a tendency to compare our spouses. I bet you he wouldn't treat me like that. I bet you she wouldn't respond that way. Or we compare our houses. Or we compare our cars. Or we compare our kids. We have a tendency to compare, and as long as I compare and you compare, it's going to take me down this path of jealousy, which will bring disorder in my life and create an environment for evil of every kind. Look at this verse here. Here's what Paul would say in Galatians 6:4. Each one should test their own actions, then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Wow. So what is he saying here? He's saying, do your best. That's what he's saying. Have you ever heard somebody say this? Well, I'm about ready to raise some Cain. Are you familiar with that story in the Bible, Cain and Abel? See, Cain compared his offering with Abel. And Cain didn't do his best. And so he became jealous of Abel. Ultimately, taking his life. Why? Because of jealousy. And what Scripture tells us is that each of us should test our own action and do our very best. And if I'm doing my very best, then you know what? It really doesn't matter what other people are doing. I'm giving it my best. But here's what I have found out, okay? We would rather embrace entitlement. I deserve this. And I'm not really concerned what it took you to get that. I just feel that if I want it, I should be able to have it and enjoy it and experience it. And we feel that because someone else has more that we're less, and that's just not true. Do you know what that person had to go through to get what they have? Maybe if you did, you would say, you know what, you can have it. I'm not willing to pay that price. But what happens is we don't go there. We just see and we want. And what I would challenge all of us here today is refuse to compare ourselves with anybody. Just buy this right here. Write this down. Do your best and trust God with the rest. Because the fact of the matter is, if you do your best, then you know what? You can trust God with the rest. Now, if you're not willing to do your best, then don't be trusting God for the rest. Because He wants your best. He wants my best. And so the way in which you and I can attack jealousy in our life is that we refuse to compare. And we just settle in on this. I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to trust God with the rest. And so refuse to compare. Let me give you the second one, and that is this. Cultivate a thankful heart. Cultivate a thankful heart. Here's what Paul says, the writer, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. You know, I will talk to people all the time, and Dwight, I want to know God's will. I want to find out God's will. Well, Paul tells us, be thankful in all circumstances. All circumstances. For this is what? God's will for you. And how can we do that? Because we belong to Christ. Now, if you're not a Christ follower, this is going to be impossible probably for you to do. But if you're a Christ follower today, then you and I can give thanks. We can be thankful in every situation of life. And you say, well, how do you do this? Well, look at this verse here in 1 Corinthians 4:7-8. Isn't everything you have and everything you are sheer gifts from God? So what's the point of all of this comparing and competing? You already have all that you need. Do you know today, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, you have everything you need? And it's a gift. It's a gift from God to you and me. And if it's a gift from God to me, then who am I to compare? And who am I to compete? And so I need to be thankful in all circumstances, every situation, for this is God's will. And when I do that, what happens is jealousy will begin to die in my heart. And I can be thankful for my friend who got the promotion. And I can be thankful for my brother who was able to build that new house. And I can be thankful for a friend of mine who has unbelievable privileges because of a relationship that he has that I don't have. And so I need to be able to be thankful. The third thing is to learn to be content. Is to learn to be content. Now this is hard, okay? Something that you and I have to learn because it doesn't come natural to us. And when I say content or contentment, I'm not talking about apathy or laziness or complacency. Contentment is independent from circumstances. And what happens is you don't base and I don't base my happiness or my joy on the situation around us. Happiness and joy comes from within. And how do you get that kind of contentment? How do you get that kind of satisfaction in your life? Well, Paul would say it like this. Paul would say, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. And when he's writing this, he's not on a boat on a lake. He's in a prison. He's in a dungeon. He's in the inner cell. And he is saying, I've learned to be content. It's not natural for me to be content. It's not natural for you to be content. And yet Paul says, I've learned how to be content. Solomon would say this in Ecclesiastes, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. See, here's how we usually work. We build the house. But we don't enjoy the house. You know why? Because we got to work to make those mortgage payments. And so what happens is we end up going after much stuff. And you know what? We don't even enjoy it because you know what? We got to make payments, man. Somebody's got to pay for this. And what Solomon is saying here is Solomon is saying, enjoy. Enjoy. Let's put that back up there. Enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. See, when you and I desire what we don't have, we can't enjoy what we do have. And you know what? We have a lot, don't we? You know, I talk to people all the time. I say, how you doing? Oh, better than I deserve. Really? You really believe that? See, we have to enjoy what we have rather than desiring what we don't. And that means I have to learn to be content. And how do I ultimately do that? Colossians 2:10 would say this, you are complete in him who is the head of all principalities and power. Paul says this in Colossians 2:10. He says that you and I are complete in him. That means that my security, my satisfaction, myself is complete in Christ. When I accept Jesus Christ as the forgiver of my sins and the leader of my life, I am complete in him. And I can be content because one of the things that jealousy does is we think that if we have that, that we will make or that we will be complete. And it's a lie. Let me give you this fourth one as we wrap up. And that is this. I need to refuse to compare. I got to do that. I got to be thankful in every situation, every circumstance. And I need to learn to be content and enjoy what I have without desiring what everybody else has. And then I need to celebrate God's goodness in other people. I need to celebrate God's goodness in other people. Here's what Paul would say in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's hard. I mean, you know what? I don't think I've ever met anybody who has a problem weeping with other people. I mean, you know, it's a lot easier to deal with people's pain than people's success. We're much more ready to hand somebody a Kleenex to wipe away their tears than to hand them a compliment and say, you know what, that's unbelievable. I am so thrilled and happy for you. Because what happens is we don't have a problem with weeping with people. We do have a problem many times with rejoicing with people. You see, promotion is always harder than pain. We can identify with people's pain, but it's very hard for us to identify with people's promotion. We can weep with them when they lose something, but let them succeed. Let them get the promotion. Let them have the privilege. Let them have the new house, the new car, the vacation. See, we just have a hard time handling other people's success. And it's hard to celebrate because it threatens us. And so what we end up doing, if we're not careful, is we end up resenting instead of rejoicing. Why them? Why not me? Can you believe that? And so what happens is we have to celebrate the goodness in other people's lives. We have to celebrate God's blessing in other people's lives if we're going to deal with jealousy. See, look what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is not jealous. Love is not jealous. Love rejoices. Love rejoices. And so we have to realize that jealousy is very subtle in my life and in your life. And we have to come back and we have to be very deliberate and intentional by refusing to compare, by being willing to be thankful and grateful, by willing to learn how to be content, and by celebrating God's goodness in other people's lives. So how do I know if I'm jealous? A jealous person says this continually. It's not fair. It's not fair. Every time you say that it's not fair, you are comparing. It's just not fair. And it will eat you alive. You see, really, our jealousy is really a battle with God. Because what we're saying is, God, you're not fair. God, I don't trust you. You weren't fair when you gave them a promotion and I didn't get one. You weren't fair when you gave them that privilege and I didn't get it. You weren't fair when, fill in the blank, you weren't fair, God. And what happens is it puts you and I in a very awkward position because we're conveying to God that we know better than He knows. And you'll never be able to enjoy life as long as jealousy is a part of your life. You say, well, how do I enjoy life and life to the fullest? Look what Jesus says. He says this, blessed, happy, joyful, okay, are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be what? Satisfied. A jealous person is never, ever satisfied. A jealous person does not have the ability to enjoy life. And God created you and I to enjoy life. You see, jealousy is not about me choosing to trust God. Jealousy is about me not choosing to trust God. And to be able to say, God, you know what? I'm going to trust you. I believe that you love me. I believe that you care for me. And I'm going to trust you with my life. And when we do that, we experience peace. Would you bow your heads with me? So let me ask you a question. Who are you jealous of today? Who do you need to celebrate? And you might need to go to them. You might need to write them a note. And you might need to say, hey, you know what? I am so thrilled because I heard this about you. What do you need to be thankful for? Where do you need to learn to be content? And who do you need to stop comparing yourself with? You see, when jealousy is in our hearts, there will also be disorder and evil of every kind. And it affects everyone in our life. And so, God, I pray for myself and I pray for my friends here today that we would refuse to compare with other people and that we would choose to be thankful and learn to be content and that we would celebrate the goodness of you in other people's lives, knowing that you are a good God, a generous God, and a great God, and that we can trust you with our very lives. Help us to do that, and I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to subscribe through iTunes. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.